Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Hello and welcome to Baseball America's Draft Podcast. I'm Carlos Galazzo, joined as always by Peter Flaherty. Peter, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing fantastic. We're at the release of this. We're now 2 weeks exactly away from Division One opening day.
Yes.
And I'm super fired up. It's like we are right there, and then it is go, go, go for about five and a half months. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll be in Texas for opening weekend of D1, hopefully get some high school action in, plus some college action at Globe Life. Always a really good tournament to start the season. Cannot wait to get out there. Excited to actually see the players we're talking about. I did a podcast earlier with Ben on future projection, Peter, and I was talking about how antsy I'm getting at this point. I have fully reached the just impatient stage and ready for the season to start. So I can't wait for the season to get here. I'm sure everyone who's listening is really excited for the season to get here. I'm going to need to re-up my subscription to YouTube TV so I can watch as much college baseball as possible.
I will say, if you, shameless plug here, if you're looking to maximize your college baseball watching, I'd actually go ESPN Plus. Because
normally I do ESPN Plus and YouTube TV, because don't you need a cable subscription to get some of the games, or have I been just throwing money away?
I'm far from an expert on it, but some of it you do. But I think if you pay the whatever the monthly subscription cost is, that unlocks most, if not all of it for you. So,
well, this year I will try and see, because I have ESPN Plus already. I will try and see if just that will get me access to all the games that I want. But
you'll be in a good spot. You'll be in a good spot.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, yeah, today, Peter, we're going to talk about some sleepers in the 2025 draft class. I guess for these purposes, you can kind of define sleeper however you want, really. I was thinking for the guys I'm going to talk about, beyond the top 100, I feel like anything like beyond top three rounds, as we kind of currently see it, fits. But I won't be too much of a strict interpreter of that if you've got other guys who are maybe inside the 100 that you're just really excited about. But yeah, it's kind of all we had on the docket today. I don't know who you're going to bring up, but we always have a fun conversation talking players. But before we get into that, if there's any other thing you want to mention or plug, please feel free to do so. I know you and Jacob have been working very heavily on the college preview issue of the magazine that just shipped earlier this week. We've got the draft update. Our draft top 200 list will be coming out in a couple days if you're listening to this podcast as it is released. First week of February, we're hoping to have that live and on the site. So excited to get that out there. Each year we update and go to a top 200 before the season starts, and then we'll have monthly updates expanding 100 players each time until we get to the BA 500 in May, I think is the month we'll get to the BA 500. But yeah, anything else you want to plug or push, please?
Yeah, in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be heavy college stuff. Next Thursday, a week from yesterday, I'll have another 11 mid-major guys that I'm doing a deep dive on. The following Friday, which is college opening day, have top 100 college 2026 guys. And then in the lead up to that, it's just going to be a bunch of great pieces from both Jacob and myself. I know Jacob is, he'll put out a bunch of those features that you'll also see in the magazine. They'll hit the web. And then I think at that point, we'll have almost all of our bases covered with a really strong slate of content.
Cool. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into some sleeper talk, Peter. I don't know if you want to kick this off or you want me to, but it is always fun to kind of call our shots on some players we really like and see what happens. I don't know if you have any real strong personal cheese balls, but I will kind of defer to you and let you kick things off if you want.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone, at least at this point, that I'm really pounding the table on. There are a handful of guys, though, that I do really like that fall somewhere outside the top 100. I guess I'll lead it off with someone we talked about a little bit in our best pitches draft, and I have actually got a couple of guys that I used in my best pitches draft, but Cade Crossland from Oklahoma is someone I really like. I grew to like him a lot over the summer. He was excellent last spring for Weatherford College and a JUCO in Texas, struck out 100 in 68 and a third innings, hit a 2.3 ERA. I am a huge fan of the changeup with Crossland as the moneymaker. I cited it as one of the best of its kind in the draft on the college side. I stand by that. It's comfortably plus. His fastball has taken a step forward since last spring and this summer. It's been up to 95, 96 with life through the zone. And then he rounds out his arsenal with this upper 70s, low 80s, kind of a slurvy breaking ball when I saw it this summer. But again, reports out of Norman from the fall are that it took a step forward. From some of the video that I saw on Twitter, it looked like he snapped off a couple that you could stick an above average grade on. I think the key for him going forward, though, is taking that step forward in the command and control department and upping the competitive pitch percentage, because the stuff is there with him. It's a really easy delivery. It looks like he's playing catch. He's got a lot of starter traits. I think the key for him, though, is being around the strike zone more consistently, and he's got a chance to really pop. He'll get seen a bunch this spring at Oklahoma, and pitching in that rotation with the Witherspoon twins and himself rounding it out, he's got a chance, I think, to end up in the, if he goes out and performs and he makes that stride necessary, I think he's got third, fourth round type upside. He's just an arm I'm really excited about.
Cool. Okay. My first pick will be Logan Dawson, who is a high school shortstop out of New Jersey. The Boston College commit will be a little bit older for the class. He'll be 19 at the time of the draft, turning 19 in June of this year. But he's a player that really every time I see him, I like him quite a bit. I got to watch him at East Coast Pro. I went to a Mid-Atlantic workout a few weeks ago that he was at. It looked like he was a little bit more physical, a little bit stronger than the last time I saw him. But I don't know that he has like a single plus or carrying tool, but he's just got a well-rounded game and approach that I really like. He's 6'3", listed at 195 pounds. It would not be surprising to me if he was already a little bit heavier than that listed weight with good, strong weight. Watching him at East Coast Pro, just consistently taking really advanced at-bats, it seems very clear that he can tell a ball from a strike with consistency and against quality pitches, against velocity. I like the swing itself mechanically. I think it's smooth, pretty fluid. It's like a slight uphill bat path, pretty easy. I think he's going to hit a lot of line drives and eventually could see him developing some more over-the-fence power. But I would just expect solid on-base ability, solid ability to hit for average with solid pop. And then defensively, again, there's no like huge plus tool, but I like how he works in the field. I think he's got good footwork. I think his hands are reliable and soft. He can throw on the run with ease. I think it's more than enough arm strength to stick at shortstop. I mean, he's a multi-sport athlete. He's not the fastest player in the world. The 6-yard dash he showed a year ago wasn't like the most impressive, but it wouldn't shock me if he started running a little bit better. So it's just a really well-rounded Northeast prep shortstop with a clean lefty swing I like. And I think there's room to dream on the power. The frame is good. It's just everything he does, I think, is solid. So he's just a player that I find myself liking. I think he probably is the closest to a personal cheese ball in this like 100 to 200 range on the board that I can think of. He's just one of those players where you just have a comfort with their game on both sides of the ball, players that you just think of as very reliable. He kind of fits that bucket for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, just looking at him on the surface, I mean, a 6'3 left-handed hitting shortstop, that's already a a pretty good foundation to build upon. And from what you said in talking about him, it sounds like there's offensive tools there. He's a steady defender on the dirt. I have a particular soft spot, I guess, for the Northeast Grinders.
And Boston College commit, Peter. You gotta love that.
I'm biased, but if he was a BC football guy, I'd be a little bit more biased. But it's an exciting profile. One I'm excited to dig deeper on. And from what you've seen defensively, are you confident that he's going to be able to stick at shortstop? Do you think he grows off the position and potentially slides over to third? I'm curious what you think at this point.
Yeah, I guess I'll be curious, like, what sort of range he has defensively. Like, the straight line speed wasn't the greatest again last year, but I think he ran pretty well early in some workouts. So I'm fairly confident. Certainly at the college level, I could easily see him sticking at shortstop and playing there. Maybe eventually he gets squeezed off, but there's like no glaring question mark for me to push him off now. Like, maybe he just adds a lot more physicality than I'm assuming and just is a better fit for like third base or second base, but I'm pretty comfy with a shortstop projection now, I would say.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited to dig a little deeper onto the into the profile. I think I'm gonna stick on the arm side, and it's another guy that cool. We talked about, but Joe Areola from Wake Forest is someone else that I'm really excited about. I think that I'm only going to be able to get so excited about him going forward, because at least to start the year, he's not going to pitch in Wake's starting rotation. So we'll kind of get him in limited doses. I'm excited or kind of curious to see how he's used throughout the year. But from a stuff standpoint with him, it is beyond real. I mean, he's got a chance for at the end of the day. He's got 2+ pitches right now. Already with his fastball that was up to 96, it averaged almost 21 inches a ride last spring through the zone. And then he pairs it with that high 70s to low 80s hammer curveball, high spin pitch, tons of depth with plenty of sharp bite. And last year, I think it had a 48% or over the summer had a 48% miss rate and a 37% chase rate. And then he rounds it out with this upper 80s cut slider hybrid. He's still gaining a feel for it, but it'll sometimes flash that late glove side life that's really effective. But I think the biggest hindrance to his game right now is his command is below average. The command is really erratic. But when he's in and around the zone, and if he can start landing it just his arsenal for strikes, I mean, the stuff is very real. So it's pretty tantalizing upside. He's got present arm speed. It's a relatively easy delivery, in an operation that's fairly low maintenance. I think he's just got a little bit like Crossland, but to a higher degree. He's got to up the competitive pitch percentage and the strike percentage. It's a little bit of a, I think I brought it up on the Best Tools podcast, or I may have not, but it's a little bit of a hybrid between like a Donovan Zach from Rutgers and a Jonathan Santucci from Duke, which is an interesting blend and an interesting combo of arms. But he's got the high octane stuff of Zach and the command issues of Zach. I guess a little bit of the command issues that came along with Santucci as well. But arm stroke is a little bit like Santucci. There are some similarities in the delivery. But yeah, I think that there's just a lot to build on and a lot there in terms of stuff, but his ceiling is only going to be so high if he can't figure it out on the pitchability front, because I think, not to go on this tangent, but you can have all the stuff in the world, but I think that all that does in pro ball is just buy you a little bit more time, because eventually, you know, if you can't ever throw strikes, you're just a ticking time bomb to put it bluntly, to get released at some point. So that's drastic. But I think that there's plenty of upside here with him. If he doesn't pitch in the route.
I was about to say, do you know if he's expected to start in a rotation role? Is he going to be in the pen again? Because I would be curious to see what he looked like if he got a chance to start.
Yeah, so I think the plan is right now with Wake, at least, they're going to go in no order. Their rotation is shaping up to be on opening weekend some iteration of Logan Lunsford, a Missouri transfer, Matthew Dallas, a Tennessee transfer, who's another Duncan interesting Marston. Arm, and then Duncan Marston, highly touted freshman from California. And I'm interested to see if they use him in a midweek role. I doubt it, but the best I saw him this summer on the Cape was when he was starting. I think the last time I saw him, which was in August, he threw five really good innings, was around the zone, got swings and misses with his entire arsenal, was effective against both lefties and righties. So again, his ceiling will be relatively limited if he just exclusively used as a reliever. But someone right now for me in that like fourth to seventh bucket, but if he slides his way into the rotation and shows that step forward that everyone's looking for, again, you're talking more of like a 3-5 type of guy, but got up the strikes.
Awesome. Yeah, he's definitely a pitcher I'm looking forward to seeing this spring. I'll stick on the mound with my next one as well. I will go back to the high school ranks, and I'm going to go with a right-handed pitcher out of North Carolina, a righty named CJ Gray, 6'1", 180 pounds, NC State commit. He'll still be 18 and a half at the time of the draft. He's a multi-sport athlete and is a just tremendous mover on the mound. He is not a player who was on the circuit a lot last summer and fall, so I don't know how much he's been seen, but talking with scouts who have seen him and then watching video of this kid, like he's not a guy I've seen in person, but I was like super intrigued with the arm talent when watching a little bit of video. I mean, he has tremendous arm speed. He has a fastball that's been up to 96 already. In shorter stints, at least, it's been in that like 93 to 95 mile per hour range. I think he gets a lot of natural ride and arm side run on the pitch. It's fairly crude overall. I think the strikes are really scattered at this point. There's not a lot of feel for a breaking ball or a changeup, though I will say, like, it feels like there's some ability to rip off a breaking ball that has good spin and good glove side movement, but just really needs to come a long ways in terms of like spotting that pitch and landing it and having it be effective. But I was pretty sold on the arm talent when watching him. And I think he's going to be a player who's really heavily scouted early this spring when he starts up. If he's throwing smoke and touching 96 and showing flashes of a good breaking ball, I could easily see some teams falling in love with like the athletic profile and the upside. It's a very risky demographic, just a high school pitcher, multi-sport athlete who needs to just add some more feel. Maybe it's going to be a project that takes a little while for him to add that pitchability and command and sequencing, and just all of the details of like being a really good pitcher on the mound. But I could easily see some teams just falling in love with the arm talent and the upside potential. And I'm really curious to hear how he's pitching early this spring, because if he's pitching well and around the zone, I could easily see him shooting up boards. He's a player that I really want to love. Although it's like it's a really risky profile, but he's really easy to like once you see him pitch.
Yeah. I looked up some video of him as you were going in depth on him. Like, the athleticism and body really stands out with him. He's a super dynamic mover on the mound, but I think you hit the nail on the head with there being some crudeness to it. Like, in the delivery, it's a little bit like, whoa, but there's some low hanging fruit there to clean up. The arm speed is legit. Like you said, he's up to 95, 96.
Yeah. There's so much strength in the lower half, and it's so whippy and fast. And like, you can see how much, like, he's just like a powerful mover. And if you just get him with a team that knows pitching development and can kind of refine some of it and get him to repeat more consistently, and I'm sure there are some more detailed pieces of the delivery and syncing it up and maybe adding a little bit more ease. Like, there is some effort in the finish, but it's just such a fun look on the mound for me.
Yeah. Again, he's such a powerful and explosive mover. And you cited the athleticism. He's a pretty freak athlete. I think he's got a handful of Division I football offers as well. I know he's committed to NC State for baseball, but he accumulated a few D1 football offers as well. But yeah, it's a fun profile. As you said, it's also a risky one. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of curious to see how he looks coming out of the gate this spring and what the chatter is around him, because that's someone
he's really, yeah, like could easily see this profile going up or down. Like if he comes out and he's just not looking great, well, you're talking about a high school pitcher and multi-sport athlete who doesn't have like a huge track record on the circuit and as an underclassman, and there are a lot of really talented pitchers in the class, so he could get swallowed a bit. But at the same time,
yeah, I mean, it's someone that you'll be able to tell pretty quickly if it's like, okay, this guy needs to kind of go to school and iron this thing out a little bit, or like you said, the former, if he kind of shoots up board. So, I mean, fun player with intriguing upside that I'll certainly be keeping my eye on. I'm trying to think of who else that I had circled. I guess I'll stay on the pitching side. I mean, why not? But
when spring training arrives, major league teams know that they have to have depth. They have to have contingency plans. No major league team goes into the season planning to have five starters make all the starts. Being prepared for life and life's events is even more important, which is why I have life insurance through SelectQuote to protect my family's financial future. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience, helping over 2 million customers, including me, find over $700 billion in coverage since 1985. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that cost you more and cover you less. While SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. You invest so much time to take care of yourself and to be the healthiest, best version of you. SelectQuote's exclusive policies can reward that effort. If you're in good health, they work with carriers that can give you the same-day coverage for up to $5 million with no medical exam required. And these policies are more affordable than you think. You can get coverage for up to $1 million for as little as $20 per month. Head to SelectQuote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. SelectQuote. They shop, you save. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/BA. Go to SelectQuote.com/BA today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/BA.
Matalan's exclusive deal of the week has landed. Matalan Me members get 20% off when you spend £30 or more. And yes, that includes the sale. Celebrate the end of a long January and treat yourself for less. Visit matalan.co.uk to access your discount. Shop in-store and online. T's and C's apply.
Griffin Stig, there are a couple, a lot of my guys today are pitchers, to be honest. But Griffin Stig from Virginia Tech, and you can kind of stick an asterisk next to him because he's out for the year. So, I mean, he'll only be able to, I'd say, improve his stock if, you know, he goes to the combine or if he gets on the mound like in May or June and throws live or throws a couple of bullpens or if a Cape team snags him, if that's even in the cards for him. But he's an exciting arm talent, showed flashes as a freshman, but took a pretty sizable step forward last spring, especially in the pitchability department. 48 Ks to 13 walks and 51 and two thirds innings. But he's got a strong athletic build. I think he's 6'4", 220. Fastball has been up to 98 and explodes out of his hand from a 5'3 release height and flashes a ton of run through the zone. I think last year it averaged almost or above 20 inches of run. And it plays exceptionally well when it's elevated in the top third of the zone. I mean, I'd give it a 55, and then he pairs it with a low 80s sweeper. It's a legit sweeper, and he'll use it against both righties and lefties. And when I was watching video on him, when I initially dove deep into him a couple of weeks ago, I think you mentioned in our Slack channel, like, would anyone have like Griffin Stig somewhere? And I was like, yeah, easy top 150 for me. But when I dug deeper into him, I was encouraged with the strides that his sweeper took as last spring went on. It only got better. His feel for it got better. Flash plus on a number of occasions. It's got this long lateral life with late teeth to the glove side. It's a legit frisbee look. I'd give it another 55, and then he rounds out his arsenal with a low 80s changeup. He'll drop his slot down from this. No one's going to see me doing this, but he attacks from this like ultra low 3/4 slot. And then when he's delivering his changeup, he'll drop to this almost a true sidearm slot, I think you could call it. Gets awesome separation off his fastball. I think it was 12 to 13 mile an hour off
Yep.
And it's got plenty of fade to the arm side with late tumble. It's another pitch that I use to both righties and lefties. Shows comfort in using it. It's another pitch you could give a 55, maybe even a 6 on. And then the command and control of his entire arsenal has only improved. And it sucks that he blew out last year because he's someone who I think that would have been Virginia Tech's headliner in the rotation. He goes out and kind of builds off that big up arrow he already had next to his name last year, pitches his way squarely into day one. Kind of that type of profile. But for now, he's not throwing this spring. The ceiling's only going to be so high, especially if he doesn't throw this summer. Prior to the draft, before the Cape, which is still an unknown, or on the Cape prior to the draft, or what have you, if he goes to the combine, that type of deal. But I feel risky like taking him right now in the second, just because he's not going to be on the mound, and I don't know what it's going to look like. But again, if he goes out somewhere and performs, even if it's a handful of starts, he could pretty quickly play his way into that day one bucket for me, the traditional day one bucket, second round type guy. But he's more like 3 to 4 than he is a second rounder for me right now. But big time arm talent. I really like him a lot. He moves well for his size. There's a lot to like from a stuff standpoint. Took a step forward in the pitchability department. It's just a lot of like the trend is Griffin Stigg's friend right now, other than the fact that he freaking blew out. But
I'm glad you mentioned him, because I don't know if he's, just because he's not going to pitch this spring, probably not a guy we would spend a lot of time on the podcast in season. And I think that even if he doesn't pitch at all before the draft, I could still see a team who is just more risk tolerant with pitchers coming off injuries, like what the Braves did with Luke Senard in last year's draft. Like,
someone would pop this in the second.
Yeah, like he was taken in the third round. I don't believe he pitched at all before the draft. I know there's some talk about pre-draft pens. I don't think those happened. Like, I think he might have even been at the combine and we thought we might have gotten a pen. I was excited, but he didn't throw. But the Braves took him in the third round, signed him for $735,000. I would think Stig, if he was healthy right now, he would be like a consensus top three round type for most people. I'm with you. I really like the arm, 5.7% walk rate, heavy horizontal movement profile. He would definitely have been a pitcher who, with a strong season this year, could have easily pushed himself up into that top 50 range with a good year. So I like the pick. I would still be pretty bullish on him going in a pretty decent spot this year, just given what he did, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'll go back to the hitting side for my next pick. I'm going to go with CJ Hughes, who is a shortstop out of California. He goes to Junipero Serra High School in San Mateo, California. So it's not the J. Serra program that pushed out Royce Lewis and no shortage of other high-profile names. Different Junipero Serra. But he is a high school shortstop, switch hitter, very small, wiry player. We have him listed as 6 foot, around 160 pounds. He's super young for the class. He'll still be 17 on draft day. I don't think he turns 18 until like September after the draft, but he got a little bit of buzz last fall in doing some prep for our draft list that's about to be updated. It sounds like he is a player who a lot of scouts out west are excited to see, sort of this projection player who needs to add a lot of strength, but he's athletic. He can really pick it at shortstop. He's got good actions. He's got a solid arm. He's got some contact skills from both sides of the plate. And it's really just a question of like, how much strength is he going to add? Is the offensive profile advanced enough that you think he can kind of survive in pro ball immediately out of high school? He's a UC Santa Barbara commit at the moment. So he's just really interesting. I've seen a little bit of video of him playing defense. Don't have a ton of track record with him offensively, but he just sounds like a really fun, defensive-oriented high school shortstop. I'll be curious to hear from scouts this spring, like how the body's looking, what the offensive upside and the power grades are looking like. But I'm a sucker for these sort of athletic, twitchy, defensive shortstops. And there are no shortage of West Coast players who are going to get a lot of buzz. I think CJ Hughes is a name that maybe a lot of people aren't talking about. He's not a famous circuit guy. He's not one of these famous Corona players, but he's got some real defensive ability. And yeah, so I think he's going to be a player to watch out for.
Yeah, it's like this appealing package of tools and upside and athleticism. I think that he's got all three going for him. From what I saw on video, I think I saw it on Twitter. I like the actions and the overall defensive skill set on the dirt. I think the biggest question mark for me is going to be the offensive upside. And like you said, what he looks like this spring, especially from a potential impact standpoint,
he's very skinny.
Yeah. But like it's super, super young, plenty of, I'd say time and room to mature physically, and get stronger and bigger. Mm-hmm. I think that he's a guy that you kind of take between the fifth and seventh, potentially. I mean, he could play his way higher than this if you kind of get more convicted on the offensive package this spring, which the jury's still out on. I'm looking forward to see what it looks like. But I'd say right now he's like that fifth to seventh to eighth round guy you take and kind of bet on the upside and the tools. I think that there's it's just a fun moldable ball of clay to get your hands on.
Yep.
At the present moment. Unless you had anything more to add on Mr. Hughes here, I guess
I'm good on him.
If you got nothing, I'll just stay on my pitching tangent.
Okay. We've got arms for days.
Yeah.
I think the depth of this pitching class this year. Like, this is something that I kind of repeatedly have mentioned to you and Jacob and just our Slack in general on the draft side. Like, there are a lot of arms that you could easily, like, you look at the foundational pieces they have, you look at the stuff, you look at what they've done, you could easily see with like strong performance jumping up into like a top 80 range. I think the hitting in the top two rounds, there's a lot of good hitters too. Just the depth of this class is really impressive to me. And maybe that's a function of like the warts on these players have not fully borne themselves out this spring, and they'll all go out and they won't perform and they won't throw strikes. But I do think there's some quality pitching depth here and just depth overall in the class.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought that up, because as we're going through this, it stands out because every arm that I've brought up to this point is someone that I'm pretty excited about. And these are all guys that right now are outside of the top 100 range, and they very well could pitch and play their way inside that range and perhaps even further up the board. But for now, they're kind of on the outside looking in, but I'm still excited about him. But the next arm is Ben Jacobs, another lefty from Arizona State. Started his career at UCLA, blossomed last spring in Tempe, had 102 Ks across 66 innings. And then he was really good in my look. Pre-USA on the Cape, he made two starts out there. He had 8 strikeouts across 5 shutout innings, and then he had a strong showing from what I heard and saw down in Cary with USA. If you saw him, I'm curious your take, but the fastball with him is the calling card. Velo isn't the name of the game here. It sits 90-93, but it's been up to 95. Jumps out of his hand from a 5'8 release height. Tons of carry through the zone. It averaged nearly 20 inches of ride during the spring, but during the summer on the Cape. Granted, this is a very small sample size, but he was popping 22, 23 inches of IVB, and we get into the nuances of the TrackMan machines on the Cape and whatnot. But it's got big time ride through the zone. It's outstanding in the top half, where it also generates, unsurprisingly, most of the swings and misses. Does a great job of getting it over the barrel of opposing hitters, and it has that true, I think, invisible look to it, just sitting behind the plate and watching him operate. And then it had a 33% miss rate, 30% in zone miss rate, and a 31% chase rate, which is pretty nutty. Easy 55, probably closer to a 6 than it is a 55. Not to the degree of an Areola, but the command with Jacobs is erratic. He doesn't really have the secondaries that someone like an Areola or a Crossland have. He finishes off his pitch mix. He's got this high 70s, low 80s curveball. He'll use it mostly against righties, and like his slider. He throws his slider, so he pairs his fastball with this low 80s slider that he'll use basically exclusively against lefties. The shape is inconsistent, but he's had positive results with it, and it's proven to be effective. It's shorter and more cut-like. But the best he threw last year had a kind of this true sweep look. And then a handful also had this two plane and more of a gyro look. So he varies the shape of it, whether it's intentional or unintentional. But it flashed above average. Right now it's a 50 though. And it held opposing hitters to a 200 average and a 38% miss rate. And then he also will mix in the high 70s to low 80s curveball that he'll use exclusively against righties. And then the shape of it's more inconsistent. It's more slurvy. But he did snap off a few that had its fair share of depth and this kind of 11 to 5 shape. I think with Jacobs, though, the most underrated weapon in his four pitch mix is his low 80s split change. Gets a ton of separation off his fastball. I think last spring it averaged almost 11 miles an hour off. Does well at maintaining his arm speed, and he also does a really nice job of killing spin on it. Sort of like Stig and his slider, it only got better as the spring went on, and especially during the summer in my look, it was a big time weapon. He got really confident with it, wasn't afraid to double up on it, and it flashed above average with late tumble. And that's a pitch that for me, at least with Jacobs, it's got a big up arrow next to it. I'm excited with the direction in which it's headed. And then between the 24 season, the Cape and USA, if you combine all three of those, it had a 45% miss rate and a 31% chase rate. So that's the pitch I'm arguably most excited about outside of his fastball. But I think the key for him is repeating his delivery. I know that sounds a little perhaps strange just given that he works exclusively out of the stretch, but can get a little out of sync and disconnected at times, which will lead to the erraticness in the command and control department. So, I mean, he's got day one upside if he, I mean, he's going to headline Arizona State's rotation. They've got a really good team, I think, with fun upside in and of themselves. And he's going to anchor the rotation. So
a full spring of starting for him would be really good. I mean, just one start in 2023, 10 starts, 10 appearances out of the pen in 2024, seeing like how he looks, if he can continue making progress with that control, will be really fun to see this spring.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you.
Cool. Good breakdown there. The last guy I had today, I'm not sure how many more players you had, Peter, but I'm going to stay out west, and I'm going to go for, I mean, maybe this will be a waste of our time because I'm pulling up a Stanford commit, and for draft purposes, those guys is as good as anyone at keeping their players and getting them to campus and having them avoid the draft. But I will go for Brock Ketelson, who is a Valley Christian High outfielder, left-handed pitcher. He's a legitimate two-way player. I think there are scouts who like him on both sides of the ball at this point. So a lot of the scouting this spring is going to be on whether or not he's better as an arm or as a hitter at the pro level. But he's got a great body, 6'3", 185 pounds, super projectable. He's super lean, a lot of room to add weight and strength. He's turned in plus run times. He has a really good arm from the outfield. He's shown flashes of a solid swing from the left side. I'm not sure if like scouts have been like super pumped with the production to this point. Like at the area code games, he didn't have like the loudest offensive showing. But I think there are things to like in the spring. You can dream on the power coming defensively in center field. It sounds like he has played it at a pretty high level. So he's got all the tools. I think the athleticism to profile well and to potentially hit. You can dream on the power. But I'm a little bit more excited about him as a pitcher at this stage. He's got a fastball that has sat around 90 in shorter stints. He's been up to, I believe, 92, 93. So it's not super overpowering velocity. But his changeup has been a real weapon at times. He missed a lot of bats with the changeup at the area code games. At that event, he struck out 8 batters, walked 4. He got as many whiffs with the changeup as he did with the fastball. It's pretty loose, pretty easy, pretty athletic on the mound. You could easily see him coming into more velocity as he fills out the frame. Again, I think in a few years, he's going to have a ton of strength that he layers on. So he's this just fascinating two-way player who, again, might just be an entire non-factor when it comes to teams actually having confidence they can sign him in the draft, because I mean, I don't remember the last Stanford commit that assigned like top 10 rounds. I don't know if you know one off the top of your head, Peter. I can't think of one, but Kettleson is a guy. You got one?
I brought up a stat in talking about.
Yeah, it was like 2012 or 2013 was the last time or something ridiculous like that.
They're on a crazy run. And I don't know if it's going to break anytime soon, but Kettleson certainly seems like a really interesting prospect. Ton of upside, I think.
I believe it's like Brock Sell is the highest Stanford commit we have ranked now. Outside of Sell, I think Kettleson is probably the most like high profile draft name of their class for 2025. I believe so. But I'm fascinated with like whether the two-way element is figured out this spring. How much strength does he add? What are the reviews offensively? Like, does he develop a breaking ball to complement the fastball changeup? But he's just a player that's pretty easy to dream on, and definitely a name that I expect to be pretty buzzy early on.
Yeah, I mean, to start off, you know, 6'4", 190-pound left-handed kid who is a two-way talent. So, I mean, that's a pretty good foundation to build on. I think in hearing you talk about him, admittedly, I need to do some more digging on him, but I'm curious where, I guess, what bucket he falls into long-term, whether he's in that hitting bucket, pitching bucket, where teams view him, because I think that'll be really interesting.
Yeah, I think personally I like him more on the mound right now, but it does seem like the industry is fairly torn, or at least open to letting him kind of continue to do both, because it sounds like he's got just real tools on both sides of the ball. So we'll see if there is any clarity that comes from that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm excited to dive deeper into him. Let's see if I have one more here. I don't want to force it. I guess I'll round it out with a guy that is probably the deepest pull on this week's podcast, but Cole Lehman from Lehigh is another, I'd say, very interesting arm. Was really good last spring as a sophomore, had 49 Ks and 46 and two-thirds innings. The Cape was up and down. There were some positive flashes there, but it was inconsistent at times, I'll say. And then this undersized righty, but he's got this strong athletic build, and he's listed at 6 foot, 190 pounds. He's put on a lot of good weight and gotten a lot more physical over the last couple of years. Fastball's been up to 96 over the summer, and was allegedly up to 98 this fall, and explodes out of his hand from a 5-3 release. It's got a ton of life through the zone, spins it well, averaged over 2300 RPMs this summer. The kind of, like everyone I've talked about, if people can notice a common theme with potentially what's holding a lot of these arms back, is the command with Lehman across the board can be erratic. I think the fastball is a 55 as is, but his most used off-speed pitch is high 70s to low 80s curveball. The shape will kind of escape him, and it gets a little slurvy at times, but later in the spring and in the summer, he snapped off a few really good ones. And I think the best ones that he threw, it's got a bigger shape with this sharp downward tilt look. And then he also will supplement it with this low to mid 80s slider that's a completely distinct look and shape. But it's a pitch that it's also shown really positive flashes, but he's still getting a feel for it. It's got sharp two-plane break with more sweep than depth. Threw a few really good ones when I saw him on the Cape. And I think that, I guess, a little bit similar to Jacobs and his split change, the pitch I'm most intrigued about with Lehman is his high 80s cutter. I'm curious to see how much he uses it. He only threw a couple this summer and over the spring, but a couple of really good ones this summer that had late glove side life, kind of a more bullet look. It's an intriguing blend of athleticism and stuff, but he's got to iron out the command and control in order to maximize his upside in Arsenal. So the command is scattered. I think that he's got a chance to potentially be a Northeast guy that pops to a certain degree, like sixth to eighth round type when all said and done. But another name I've got kind of circled.
Cool. Yeah, no shortage of arms this year. I don't have as much to add on Lehman. You probably broke him down as well as I could have at this point, but we'll definitely be on the lookout for him if he pops this spring. But yeah, fun to get into a few maybe lower profile names, and we'll circle back and see how prescient or how foolish we looked, Peter.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope it's, the former, the latter, but...
Hopefully so. Yeah, but getting ready for the season, excited for it to get rolling. I'm sure that the in-season draft pods are a little bit more fun. Well, maybe not. Maybe people like the preview and review content. It'll certainly be more fun for us as we're out there reacting and seeing games and reporting back to you guys. Anything else you want to mention or talk about before we head out of here, Peter?
No, I got nothing. I'm just chomping at the bit for the season to start. These are fun and a productive exercise, but I'm excited to actually have results and performances and looks to talk about and break down.
Yeah, we'll see who can have the first like FU Hagan Smith start of the season this year. There's no shortage of options on the pitching side for college, and I'm excited to see if these like top two round college hitters will kind of line themselves up and give us some more clarity, because it's a pretty muddled, but I think, again, really strong group. So it'll be a fun season. Can't wait to get rolling, get out there. Thank you guys for listening to the pod. Thanks for supporting Baseball America. If you do, we really appreciate the support. For Peter, I'm Carlos. So long, everybody.
Matalan's exclusive deal of the week has landed. Matalan Me members get 20% off when you spend £30 or more. And yes, that includes the sale. Celebrate the end of a long January and treat yourself for less. Visit matalan.co.uk to access your discount. Shop in-store and online. T's and C's apply.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.